To have music is one thing. To have music with feeling is a whole nother ball game, and it is, again, such a pleasure. So thank you again. This time I would ask that you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go back, Numbers, chapter 6. I will be reading verses 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." The word of God, let us receive it as such. Let us pray for wisdom. Our God and our Father, as we come to your word, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would illumine the scriptures to our hearts. Help us to understand more fully the joy, the blessing of your word. We ask that you would condescend to the fragility of our minds and our hearts at this moment to help us through your word. In Jesus' name. The portion that I have just read is known as the Hebrew benediction. This priestly blessing was given over the congregation for centuries by priests, by rabbis, by pastors and preachers since. It has been one of the most common benedictions given. And in our Reformed tradition, it's often that we give a benediction at the end of the worship service where you will see the pastor or preacher with his arms outstretched over the congregation. This is a blessing upon the people. The word benediction comes from the Latin, two parts. The part bene means good or well. Diction means to speak. So in essence, a benediction is to speak well of or to speak good of the people. Not about them, but on their behalf. Again, it's a common way to end sermons or worship services, even letters. The New Testament epistles, bear with me briefly here, but the New Testament epistles, many of them end with a benediction. In Romans, Paul ends by blessing God. In 2 Peter, Peter ends by blessing God. 1 Corinthians ends with a benediction to the people that are receiving this letter. And remember, these letters were meant to be read in a congregation. So it would have been a worship service in the first century where the Corinthian leader or elder would have been standing up in front of the congregation reading this letter from the Apostle Paul. And this letter would then end with this blessing or benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. The next letter to the Corinthians ends, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is also a common benediction for our worship services. Paul's letters to the Galatians, to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to Philemon, to the Colossians, all end with, "Grace be with you." 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, Titus, and the letter to the Hebrews, "Grace be with you all." 2 Timothy and 1 Peter, and "Peace to all of you who are in Christ." The final benediction we get in the canon of scriptures found in the book of Revelation. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. The idea of a benediction is obviously important to Christian worship. My hope and my prayer is that today's sermon will be for you a benediction on 2023, and that is why I've titled today's sermon a benediction on 2023. For some of you, you will look back on the past year with joy, maybe a sense of fulfillment. Perhaps you welcomed in new life, the birth of a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild. Maybe you celebrated marriages, promotion. For others, for some of you, 2023 may very well be a year you would like to forget. Perhaps you said goodbye to a loved one. You laid to rest a loved one. Maybe you faced calamity or tragedy. Perhaps you faced diagnosis or watched a loved one be diagnosed with terminal illness, and you would just as soon see 2023 wiped off the pages of history. Perhaps you're looking forward to 2024 with anxiety instead of anticipation. Whichever camp you are in, there is a blessing in store for anyone who is in Christ. Everyone who is in Christ. There is hope. There is a blessing. As we walk through this passage and we attempt to gain a fuller understanding of its depth, of its breadth, of its width, of its profound meaning, we can begin with a brief word study. But I feel like we will... How many of you remember seeing a cartoon where the character climbs atop this ladder to a high dive platform and is ready to dive off this platform, and when they're ready to jump, they look down and all they see is this little bucket of water? Comical in cartoons, but as we walk into this passage and begin to walk through it and just on the surface do a word study, we may come away feeling as if we have just taking a high dive into the shallow end of a kiddie pool. So often in our English language, we can lose meaning in various words, and we'll see this in just a moment. So we will walk through this passage first in kind of a word study and then dive deeper with more of a concordance, biblical context type brief study. And then we'll try to look at this from the perspective of the people of Israel that heard this benediction first. Now, the first word that we see is the word to bless. May the Lord bless you. And here we can see that as we dive in back to the Hebrew, the word barak literally means to bless. We're not missing much in our English translation. However, we're missing almost all of it in our English translation because we have overused this word. We have lost its meaning. We have lost the depth of the word bless. In other contexts, this word can mean to kneel down before, kneel down in adoration. But God is not saying here, may the Lord kneel down in adoration before you. This is saying, may he bless you. So we need to come back to this because the better way to understand the word blessing is to understand its opposite, the word to curse or to blaspheme. let us move on with our brief word study. The next word, to keep. May the Lord bless you and keep you. This word in the Hebrew is much deeper. This word means to guard, to protect. The Hebrew word shamar means to protect you from your enemies, to guard you against your enemies. But the next line, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. It literally means to shine, to light. The English translation nailed it. To be gracious unto you, to show favor, or to show pity. Unmerited favor, something we cannot earn. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And again, that's the same Hebrew word as face. And give you peace, shalom. This means completeness, safety, soundness, and welfare. So coming away with just a brief word study, we realize that we're still in the shallow end. Let us dive a little deeper with a more of a concordance-type biblical study. As we take a step back from this, we see that it's three lines of Hebrew poetry. In one sense, this Hebrew poetry is laid out in parallelisms. It's saying one or two things in similar fashion. But in another sense, you may be able to see that this is ascending. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. And then to the highest level, may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So we start over looking at this passage, the word blessing now. This is the first role of the prophet. The office of prophet was to speak to the people on behalf of God. One of the most common ways that they spoke to the people of God was to begin, "Thus says the Lord." But the prophets also often spoke in the oracular. They spoke oracles, the oracles of God. And it was either an oracle of weal or an oracle of woe. You may think back to Isaiah's first day as a prophet, and as he is commissioned to be a prophet in Isaiah chapter 6. Confronted so abruptly by the holiness of God, Isaiah's first oracle is a pronouncement of a curse upon himself when he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." The psalmists frequently spoke oracles of weal. You may think of Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." And you can find so many more blessings throughout the Psalms. Psalm 119 comes to mind briefly. I won't read the whole Psalm. Verse 1, though, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless." This is an oracle of weal. "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart." Jesus used both oracles of weal and oracles of woe. We can think to Matthew 23, where 7 times Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you bring him back as a proselyte, you make him twice the child of hell as you are yourselves." 7 times he said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." This is Jesus filling out the role of prophet, pronouncing an oracle of woe upon the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy. You may think of an oracle of wheel from Jesus as when he blessed Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. That is an oracle of wheel. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now we can begin to understand a little more deeply what it means when God says, may the Lord bless you and keep you and guard you, protect you. Psalm 119 again, verse 9. I should have just marked this. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. That same Hebrew word, to guard, to keep. We must guard our way by guarding our way against or according to God's word. Guarding it against the world. Guarding it against the evil one. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. We read that God placed a cherubim with a flaming sword in front of the path to the Garden of Eden to guard it, to prevent man from going back into the garden. The same Hebrew word is used there, to guard the way or to protect that path. Judges chapter 7, verse 19, the word is translated to watch over, much like in a military fashion. Psalm 16, verse 1, preserve me, O Lord. Same Hebrew word. So when God says, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may you be poor in spirit. May you be meek. May you be blessed by God. And may you be protected from your enemy. I think of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. This is what that first blessing means. And the second, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Hebrew people hearing this would have probably, most likely, I don't like to be wishy-washy on that, but my guess is that the Hebrew people immediately thought of Moses coming down from the mountain with his face shining because it was still reflecting the Shekinah glory of God. When he came down from the mountain, the people of Israel told him to cover his face because it shone so brightly. I think of Psalm 119 again, where it says, your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet. So the Hebrew people understood what it meant. God said, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. They knew that God dwelt in unapproachable light. And in essence, that was a form of him being gracious to them. It's a form of him being gracious to us, but yet he articulates it even further in that second line. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. To show you unmerited favor. Think of Exodus Moses is confronted by God. God passes before him. In Exodus 1 and 33, verse 19, after Moses had said, "Please show me your glory," and he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." 34 verse 6 of Exodus. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Gracious. It's part of the characteristic of God. This blessing is to say, may God pour out his grace upon you. And then it goes up just another level yet. With that third line, may the Lord lift up his countenance. The first we see this word, countenance, Genesis chapter 4, after Cain killed his brother Abel, God pronounced a curse on Cain. And Cain was immediately saddened by this curse and wallowing in self-pity, perhaps. And it says to us that his countenance had fallen, and God asked him, "Why has your countenance fallen?" Brief little analogy. I have extremely strong facial muscles, so at times, most of the time, I wear my emotions right on my face. I don't hide it really well. I rarely hide my emotions. And my children can see this. My two youngest ones can see when I'm happy. They can see when I'm upset. Just about a month ago, we were at another house enjoying dinner. My children were in the living room misbehaving just a little bit. And I said their names and I gave them that look. The person across the table from me put her hands on the table and said, "Whoa, that was a scary face." My countenance hadn't fallen, but my countenance expressed to my children what needed to be expressed. It was a countenance of displeasure. My children can tell by my face when I am happy, when I am proud of them. That is the look in view when it says, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May he look down upon you as a father that is filled with and beaming with pride and joy and contentment with his son or with his daughter. And give you peace. Shalom. The Hebrew people for generations would greet one another with this shalom, shalom, peace, peace. And to them it meant a break from war, a break from conflict, safe travels, comfort and welfare. From the Christian perspective, we have Christ as the Prince of Peace. We have peace as part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This is a blessing of peace. To the Jew, this was perhaps one of the greatest blessings they could call for. But even with all of this, we should still walk away from this passage feeling like we have too shallow of an understanding. We can understand it a little stronger by understanding the opposite of this blessing. The darker the night's surroundings are, the brighter the stars will shine. So the greater we understand the curse, the greater we can understand the blessing. One thing the Hebrew people did not have at the time of this blessing was the complete canon of Scripture. We have that blessing. If you'd like to follow along at this time, I would ask that you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, 27 and 28. Strongly suggest if you get a chance over the next week to just read through these two chapters to help put into perspective the blessing by better understanding the curse. Chapter 27, the people of Israel are standing out on Mount Ebal there to call out, "Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother," and all the people shall say amen. "Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark," and all the people shall say amen. And there are 11 curses right there. Chapter 28 begins with, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." It's a beautiful picture that these blessings, as if we're running, these blessings are going to catch up to us and tackle us. So profound is the level of blessing that God is promising here. And verses 3 through 13 are an articulation of those blessings where God says, "I will bless you in the field. I will bless you in the house. I will bless you coming in. I will bless you going out. I will bless you in the living room, in the dining room, in the barn. I will bless you in the garage. I will bless you so much you will have blessings coming out of your ears. But verses 15 through 68 are curses. This is a 3-to-1 ratio. God is warning his people throughout the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you do not obey my law, if you do not obey my commandments. To put this into perspective, if you were to listen to this chapter alone on an audio Bible, it is a 10-minute chapter. And the first 2 minutes, maybe 2.5, will get you through the blessings. The remainder of the chapter will be the curses. All of this has been introduction to a 1-point sermon. Since we've earned the curses, since we have rightfully earned the curses, how do we attain this blessing of Numbers chapter 6? And it is through Christ alone. Through faith in the redemption and the salvation provided by God, through faith in his Son, his sinless life, his atoning death and substitutionary work on the cross, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. But how can God be just and justifier of us sinners? Paul articulates this very well in Romans chapter 3. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That is a continual verb. present tense, continuous. We don't just fall short once. We didn't fall short a long time ago. We fall short every day. We fail to even take a single drink of water without giving God perfect glory for that drink of water. We fall short. Verse 26 of chapter 3 of Romans, it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We can receive this blessing because Jesus received the curse. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might of God. Now let's look at Numbers chapter 6. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But let's look at it from the perspective of the cross. What Jesus endured that day on the cross on our behalf was the exact opposite of this blessing. It would have been, may the Lord curse you and throw you away to the enemy. May the Lord turn his face from you and show you no pity. The Lord scowl down upon you with anger and disdain, and may he give you torment and suffering, not even a glimmer of hope for a sliver of peace. This is what Christ endured on the cross. Why did our Lord weep so bitterly in the garden before he was arrested, when martyrs years after him could go to the cross singing hymns of praise? They could be singing hymns of praise while being burned at the stake. Why was it that our Lord was weeping so bitterly? Because he who knew no sin was about to become sin. He was about to become a curse. And think briefly of what this curse looked like. What does it look like when God turns his face and does not shine it down on his only son? You've got three passages to choose from. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. Mark's version, or his perspective, chapter 15, verses 33 through 34. Or Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 and 45. Matthew 27 will be the one I read from. This is what the curse looked like. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, let us read Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. That is how we attain such a blessing. It is through Christ, because he took the curse, because he bore our iniquity. He bore our sins while hanging from that cross. Christ took our part. Closing illustration. The 1960s, late 1960s, a secular song, and I will admit again, this is a secular song, was written. One of my favorite songs of all time, and I always thought it had some religious undertones to it, and I recently learned it's because they stole the main line from a Southern gospel song. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. When Paul Simon wrote that, I don't know that he was thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ, but every time I hear that song, that's what I'm thinking about now. Christ took our part that we may receive such a blessing. So whether 2023 was a good year or a bad year, whether you would like to repeat such a year or you would love to have it erased from the history books, whether it was good, great, grand, or something to forget, we have eternal blessing in Christ. And if you are in Christ, He will bless you and keep you and be like a bridge over any troubled waters. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. Let us come before Him in prayer. While your heads are bowed for a moment, if you do not yet know Christ, while it is yet today, come to Him, turn to Him, throw yourself upon the foot of the cross, and plead for salvation. Our God and our Father, we give You thanks for Your word, and we give You thanks for this blessing. Help us to live every day with an understanding of this blessing, and an understanding of how it is that we receive such a blessing by Your grace through faith in Your Son, Jesus. May we live each day with this blessing as our hope. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time.